I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, San Antonio this summer has been experiencing extreme heat, with temperatures reaching or exceeding 100 degrees, often much earlier in the year than the historic average. And in the last two decades, we're seeing many more days reach over 100 degrees. This extreme heat can be dangerous. The city of San Antonio is launching a series of community workshops aimed at helping residents stay safe and informed about dealing with the extreme heat. And later on The Source, last week, San Antonio experienced one of the deadliest floods in recent history. 13 people died when over 6 inches of rain fell in the city. Was the drainage system designed to handle this amount of rainfall? What needs to be done to keep this from happening again? This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Summer temperatures in San Antonio have become hotter and hotter. The frequency of extreme hot days has nearly tripled in the past two decades. We are having more heat waves. They're lasting longer with higher highs. Health experts warn that high heat, especially when combined with this high humidity, puts serious stress on the human body. And here's what you need to know. When the body overheats, it can lead to heat exhaustion. Symptoms include heavy sweating, nausea, dizziness, and a fast, weak pulse. If not treated quickly, it can escalate into heat stroke, a life-threatening emergency. Heat stroke happens when your body loses the ability to cool itself, and you may stop sweating. You could feel confused or faint. Your core body temperature could shoot above 103 degrees, and this requires immediate medical attention. Even before reaching that point, dehydration is a main concern. Losing too much water and salt through sweat can affect your heart, your kidney, your brain. You may feel tired, dizzy, or have dark-colored urine, and that's a sign of being dehydrated. Heat cramps, painful muscle spasms often strike if you're working outside or if you're doing athletics outside, and some people may faint when their blood pressure drops due to prolonged heat exposure. Vulnerable groups include the elderly, young children, outdoor workers, people without access to air conditioning, and those with chronic health conditions. The city of San Antonio is aware of all of this and is launching a series of 6 community workshops aimed at helping residents stay safe and informed about extreme heat. We're joined by Laura Patino. She is the Chief Resilience Officer for the city of San Antonio to tell us more. And Laura, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David.
So before we get into talking about how the city of San Antonio wants to help the community be aware of all these risks with extreme heat, let's talk about this current, it's, I don't know if it's an emergency, but there's a situation happening right now in the city of San Antonio with the smell of natural gas. So what is happening?
Yeah, this morning there appeared to be a leak in some of the pipelines and working out at the west side. It isn't natural gas that is coming out. It is the component that gives the odorant. It's called mercaptan. And so it has been released and it's going out into the neighborhoods, but it is not dangerous. And so it is dissipating over time, and that's what folks might be smelling right now.
It's a rotten egg kind of a smell. It smells like natural gas. Well, natural gas in and of itself does not have a smell. This odorant is added to it so that when you have a natural gas leak that we're able to detect it and we're able to. So what happens now is we have this leak of this odorant and people are thinking, oh, my God, there's natural gas. But there isn't. Right.
Correct.
So we're asking people not to call 911. 911 already is being flooded with a lot of calls from concerned citizens from all across San Antonio, even to Bernie.
Right.
People are calling in saying, I can smell natural gas. They want something done about it. But we want everyone to know that this is not a hazard. This is not a danger to residents.
Correct.
But it is something that we need to let everyone know what's going on.
Exactly. So just stick tight. Like I said, I think making sure that you are not flooding the 911 system so that the responders can respond to actually true emergencies is key all across the San Antonio area. And again, don't panic, don't be concerned, because it is the odorless, it's the odorant that is placed in natural gas that allows us to detect, that rotten egg smell.
And this odorant, this that smells like natural gas, is not harmful on its own. It just, I smell something bad.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, okay, all right. So thank you for that. And let's go ahead and talk about what's happening. Friday is summer solstice, longest day of the year. We're going to have 14 hours and 1 minute of sunlight on that day, the longest day of the year. We're getting into the high heat season of San Antonio, although we've already seen 100 degree days this season. This is when it really gets hot in San Antonio. And we're always, because of all the rain we've gotten, we've had an extreme humidity as well. So what are you considering with the city of San Antonio and how to get the community prepared for this?
Yeah, well, like you mentioned, heat is one of the biggest hazards that we face in our city. And when it is humid, the temperature feels even more intense. So it's important to know that heat is actually one of the deadliest disasters across the globe. It really impacts more people because of the repercussions that you mentioned earlier. They can be deadly. They can lead to dehydration, headaches, heat stroke, and even more. So while San Antonio has been experienced with dealing with heat, it doesn't necessarily make it less dangerous. And we want to make sure that folks are aware of that and aware of the resources that they have. And so the goal of these events really came from the recognition that a lot of members from the community are not aware that resilience hubs are open and available for them to provide services in the day-to-day or even during the emergencies. And so the goal of these events is to be able to bring folks there, be able to engage with city departments as well as local partners to learn about how heat impacts their health, how heat impacts their home, our infrastructure, the way we commute around town, and what other resources exist in order for us to work together as a community to be able to address these challenges. So there is also a Heat and Partnership Day, which we'll be able to then work and learn from nonprofits in terms of the work that they're doing and how can they service residents as well.
So you mentioned the city's resilience hubs. What are those?
So resilience hubs are essentially enhanced community centers or senior centers that not only provide regular programming or services during the day-to-day, but are also equipped with some improvements, like backup generators. And so this allows them to serve as places to stay cool when activated, especially in the summer. In the winter, we actually switch that, and they can be places to stay warm, and can even be places to distribute information and hold event. The fact that they're equipped with backup power and generators allows for these facilities to continue to operate if there is a power outage, which also provides an enhanced resiliency to the building so that if there is a power outage in the neighborhood, folks can come to this location to stay cool. The other added benefit of resilience hubs is that if activated in case of a major disaster, they can potentially serve as shelters as well. And so really, resilience hubs are a place for the community to come together in the time of need, whether it's for resources, whether it's for a place, and to be able to get those resources from the city or community partners.
And so we have the Miller's Pond Community Center on Pearsall Road, the Nora Moyle Senior Center on Culberson Avenue, La Garza Community Center on Mira Vista, Southside Lions Club Senior Center on Pecan Valley Drive, Copernicus Community Center on Lord Road, and also the Northeast Senior Center that's on Thousand Oaks. Those are the main ones?
That's right. Those are six.
Everyone should have those to know where they are, which one you live closest to. You never know. what's going to happen, and you should be prepared. And these are places you can go to shelter in place when things get bad. We're going to take a break here. Our phone lines are open, talking about the extreme heat. 833-TPR-TALK. We'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.
I'm W. Strong. I'm host of Stories from Texas and commentator for the Texas Standard. One of the great minds in our history was Daniel Webster, and he used to say, if you want to be wise, there are several ways to get wisdom. He said there are really three ways you can do it. You can travel a lot, and that can give you wisdom. And you can read a lot of books, and that can give you wisdom. Or you can converse with people of learning and knowledge and expertise. And so public radio gives you that latter thing where you are in a kind of conversation with the brightest minds of many, many different fields. And that's what I think is so valuable. And if it were to go away, that would be an incredible tragedy. You can support and defend public radio by donating to TPR.org. Thank you.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the second half hour, we're going to be joined by County Commissioner Tommy Calvert, talking about the flood that we had last week, 13 people who lost their lives, what needs to be done in order to prevent a catastrophe like that from happening again, and what went wrong this time. But right now, we're joined by Laura Patino. She is the Chief Resilience Officer for the City of San Antonio, and we're talking about these San Antonio family-friendly workshops ready for the hot weather, getting people to educate residents on how to prepare to stay safe during the extreme heat that we're going to be having here coming up. And we're already having it, but it's going to get even worse because we know what it's like here in San Antonio. So I want to talk about why the humidity. We're having so much humidity, Laura, and why that's a concern. Scientists call it the wet bulb effect, which is kind of funny in a way, but actually it means the humidity is so high that when your body perspires, which is your body's natural cooling system, the humidity is so high it doesn't evaporate. So your natural cooling is not going to be enough to keep you from having a catastrophic effects from the heat. So what can be done about that?
Well, the first thing is really to understand the signs of overheating, right? And that starts with really feeling thirsty, sweating. It can then lead to headaches. Your urine can be even like more intense color yellow. So what can be done is making sure you have a hydration station near you, making sure you carry water, wear clothing that is light and helps you even stay cooler. Know where the resilience hubs are and the places to stay cool are, but also know that there are places, right, that are not necessarily city facilities that you can also go into and stay cool. I think what's most important as well is that as we think about our humidity and as you think about how our days are getting hotter, how are you planning your day? And what are you thinking about to be resilient in your own home? And so making sure that you're using early mornings, late afternoons to exercise if possible, right? Try to stay away from the exposure of really when the sun is highest in the sky. And also think about what improvements you can do in your own home as well. There's several partners as well as city that have programs that help with energy efficiency, that help with installation of air conditioning, and that help with also insulation to improve the insulation of your homes. This all makes it more efficient so your home can stay cooler and you have that opportunity to wind down. There is one thing that we haven't really talked about, and it is really kind of critical to bring awareness, and it really is about who the most vulnerable individuals are in our community and here in San Antonio. And we know seniors are more vulnerable. We know our children, especially right now in the summer, as they're in the summer programs outside playing in the heat, are more vulnerable. on our outdoor workers. And so it is really important that our employers are out there are ensuring that folks have the opportunity to take breaks. But really the biggest challenge, and I think one of the biggest issues that we have, is how do we ensure that the people experiencing homelessness can have a place to stay cool, a place for obtaining respite and water from this extreme weather that we're experiencing, and just really understanding that they're the ones that don't necessarily have a place to always stay cool, and helping create awareness of what resources exist for them as well.
Yeah, I've gone out with San Antonio Metro Health. They have a unit that goes out and provides ice and other material for people who are unhoused, who help them get through the heat of the day. And it's inspiring to see that we're dedicating resources to help these individuals. But there's only so much you can do. Let's go to Brian on the phones. And our number, if you want to call in, is 833-877-8255. And Brian, go ahead. Brian, you're on. Hang on 1 second. And Brian, you're on the air.
This great topic today. I wanted to talk about nature's air conditioners and trees. So we just experienced bad flooding last week, partially because we've paved so much of our land. If we use green infrastructure, nature-based solutions, leave riparian corridors, plant more trees, everybody knows since childhood that underneath the shade of a tree is much cooler than out in the sun. And I think we could, by using nature-based solutions, be mitigating multiple threats at the same time: urban heat island, food deserts, drought, flooding, groundwater decline, and so forth. So I would love to hear more about nature-based solutions that are profitable for people, planet, and profits.
Brian, thank you so much. For urban heat islands, and these are areas where there's a lot of concrete, not a lot of green spaces, not a lot of trees, and you can see that the temperature that the weatherman says on TV, it says it's 100 degrees. There at an urban heat island, it can be as much as 110 degrees. So it is a serious difference. So what's being done about that?
Yeah, great question, Brian. And I think it's important to note that with our heat management, we can't just look at response and we can't just think about what to do when it's already hot. We have to think about what is our temperature going to be next year, 5 years from now, 100 years from now. And how are we incorporating that into our built environment, our infrastructure, our green spaces? So right now, actually, the city of San Antonio is going through a process of creating that heat management strategy. We're calling it the Heat Resilience Playbook. And that playbook inventories all of the actions that the city is already doing, and also captures some potential recommendations of what the city can do to ensure that we tackle heat in the long term. And so things that we're already moving forward as it relates to green space is really incorporating trees within the right-of-way, right? As we build streets, how are trees providing shade around those areas, including sidewalks? The connectivity to parks and having improving the access of residents to be able to get to those parks and that trail system. We are also looking at really the Parks Department has a program called the Community Tree Program, in which you can sign up and they will come to your house and plant the tree for you. And so that is a program where folks can also participate in helping contribute to expanding the tree canopy here in San Antonio within their own neighborhoods. One of the flagship actions of this playbook is the work that's being led by the Office of Sustainability, where they've looked at data provided by UTSA and looked at the hottest neighborhoods in San Antonio that are also the most vulnerable. And they're looking at four specific neighborhoods and piloting a variety of heat mitigation strategies.
Is it like the white pavement, asphalt, no longer black asphalt?
Exactly. So cool pavement, whether it's a reflective coating or a different type of material, cool roofs that can be implemented within homes in those neighborhoods, more tree planting, more green areas.
I wonder about shade cloth. I put shade cloth up over my garden, mm-hmm. and I'm amazed at what a difference it makes in cooling my backyard. Why don't we incorporate more shade cloth in public spaces?
It's certainly something that we can look at. There actually are several areas, several parks and libraries that have shade cloths on their playgrounds. And so really exploring the use of those type of strategies.
Yeah, I went to one playground and you touch like the slide during the summer and it's so hot, you don't dare use it. It's like becomes impossible to access that playground because it's so hot, doesn't have any shade on it, but you're installing more.
Yes, there are some parks that already do have some of those shaded playgrounds, and it has been identified also as a priority of an area that we want to explore in terms of how to integrate more shade within the public areas and the public right-of-way.
So these community workshops, you have them, and they begin on June 14th, which is already – you already had the first one mm-hmm. at Miller's Pond. What was that like?
So it was it's a beautiful venue, first of all. For those that have never been out there to Miller's Pond Community Center, it's a city facility that has a gym and a cafeteria and a little meeting room. But it has a beautiful pond, and that pond is surrounded by green space and it's surrounded by trees. So there's a lot of local fishermen that go out for that activity. At the event, we had tabling. So we did have participation of individuals that were coming in to fish. We had we even had a local ice truck as well to be able to give ice and with flavor so folks could stay cool while they were out there. And we had free giveaways. So the main theme of the event was individual preparedness. We were able to partner with the Office of Emergency Management to provide giveaways for little bowls for water for your pets, a towel that is made of wicking and cooling material. So once it gets wet, it stays cool with your own perspiration.
So there's a lot of technology that's being developed. We just need to be able to get that into the hands of the people who need it the most.
Exactly.
You know, and I see a lot of people who are working outside. They're wearing like really bright colors and wide-brimmed hats these days. You used to see all that. Now it's commonplace. And does that really protect people from the heat?
Yes. The hats are for shade and sun protection. Colors, I don't think it necessarily makes much of a difference. It does if you are wearing lighter colored clothing that it doesn't feel as hot. Really what is the major impact of the clothing is the material. And so that wicking material allows it doesn't trap sweat. So mm-hmm. it allows sweat to really evaporate. And so it keeps you cool.
We have a lot of elderly people in San Antonio who they need air conditioning, but they are afraid they can't turn it on because of the expense. Yeah. And they box fans. I don't know if we're doing the box fan giveaways that we've had in the past. Is that still something happening?
Yes, and that is through the Neighborhood and Housing Services Department. It's called Project Cool.
They ask people to donate box fans so they can give them away. Is that right? Sometimes
mm-hmm. there are donations, and then there's different types of box fans that are provided as well. In fact, the fire department had a partnership with the Neighborhood and Housing Services as well, where they were able to expand the reach of where those box fans are being provided.
So if it sounded great, like, wow, that Miller's Pond event sounded great, I wish I had been there. There is another one coming up. There's multiple, but the next one is on Thursday, June 25th from 6 to 8 p.m. That's going to be at the Normoil Senior Center on Culverson Avenue, and that's going to be focusing on heat and power. Yeah. But right now the projections are that the grid is going to be able to maintain. You know, but you never know.
You never know.
Unfortunately.
There is always a chance. And so that is really the key message. Be prepared. We are living every day with, extreme weather. that can happen at any time. And so the key message is that for individuals to be prepared in their home, have the resources, or at least be aware of where to get information and their resources. So this next event is being co-hosted with CPS Energy. They will have information about their weatherization program, about their energy efficiency programs as well as different activities. So we definitely want to encourage folks to attend and make this event fun because it really isn't as impactful if you're not there.
And so this is also an opportunity for the community to talk about how they're being impacted by the heat, what services they really need or that they use, and how we need to have a dialogue, we need to be working together, we need to be taking care of each other during these events, checking on friends and neighbors, making sure that they're fine. And so I want to thank you for joining us today, Alara Patino, with the City of San Antonio's Chief Resilience Officer. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, David.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
I'm W.F. Strong. I'm host of Stories from Texas and commentator for the Texas Standard. One of the great minds in our history was Daniel Webster, and he used to say, if you want to be wise, there are several ways to get wisdom. He said there are really three ways you can do it. You can travel a lot, and that can give you wisdom. And you can read a lot of books, and that can give you wisdom. Or you can converse with people of learning and knowledge and expertise. And so public radio gives you that latter thing where you are in a kind of conversation with the brightest minds of many, many different fields. And that's what I think is so valuable. And if it were to go away, that would be an incredible tragedy. You can support and defend public radio by donating to tpr.org. Thank you.